One last time, every hand raised, every eye worshiping God.
Wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful?
Praise God.
Yes, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Give my hand clap of praise and worship. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, you're worthy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we get into the Word, again, appreciate our brother Mac being here today. That's wonderful. I'm glad he's been listening to sermons, things that he's really enjoying it, and that just humbled a little young guy like me to hear something like that. So I really appreciate him being able to come out today. For those of you who weren't here Wednesday, I want to make an announcement from Brother Ernie when he emailed me from the Philippines. He did tell me a testimony that there was a young pastor there that had received the message, and he came to get rebaptized, and he said he's going back to his church to preach the message of the hour. So I thought that was wonderful to hear. Remember to keep the church building there in prayer, that you know God will provide a way, even if he doesn't use us, that he'll use something to provide a way for them to have a church building there. And also, on a more serious note, I guess there was a brother, I found his name, it's Augustine Sales, that had passed away there. And he was a pastor of a church, and remember them in prayer, because I'm sure that's a hard thing for them, losing their pastor like that. Don't know how exactly long, but he did tell me he was a man of good reputation. He'd stood for the word for many years, so I really appreciate that kind of testimony. I believe that, just as the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of his saints, so... Remember them in prayer. Lift them up when it comes to your heart and mind. One last thing. At the end of the month, the 23rd and the 26th, Brother Alexander, that's Sunday and Wednesday, will be preaching for us. That Sunday, me and the family will be out of town. She's got a friend of hers that's getting married, so we're going to go down there to the wedding. And, you know, it's just funny how the Lord does things, because I was like, well, have Alex come Sunday. I was like, might as well give him another service. We'll do Wednesday. Well, Sunday, we're going to be heading back Sunday night. I've got to leave for Lima Monday after school for a class, and then that Wednesday between school and I think it's from like 3:30 to 4:30, I've got to teach a math thing I had almost forgot about. So finding time to study in there was going to be a little difficult, so I appreciate the Lord giving me a break. Is that right? So I didn't preconceive that by any chance, but when I saw that, I was like, you know, I appreciate that, Lord, trying not to, I don't want to just cram something in. I want to give it my whole heart. I want to give it attention that studying for the word and preaching the word deserves. So appreciate the Lord doing that. So come expecting great things. Excuse me. All right, let's open up our Bibles this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. I've got a few portions I want to read this morning. We've been talking on church order, and I really want to bring it home today where I stand on some issues here. Acts chapter 6. Might have to take it slow. I'm going to probably do a lot of reading, a lot of quotes and things that I normally don't typically do, but even if you don't catch it all, get the tape, listen to it online or whatever. If you ever have any questions, I want to make sure that these things are in there. I don't want to leave something out and later forget that I never said it. So I want to do that today. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Kadarek, can you say amen for me?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Timothy chapter 3. Flip over there with me, please. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. In the third chapter, I'd like to go down to verse 8. We hit pretty hard on a pastor last week, so again, if you didn't hear that, if you want to, go listen to that sermon, please. the purpose of a pastor. But today I want to start at verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Skip the first 14. I'm sorry, I forgot I was going to finish this. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And that's going to be my topic today, behavior in God's house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And I'm just going to quote one scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says this: let all things be done decently and in order. Behavior in God's house. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we come again into your house, Lord, not to hear from a man's intellect or from reasoning, Lord, but we come to hear from God, that you might tell us the things, as you, Paul wrote to Timothy, how he might behave himself in the house of God, how he might run things, Lord, that would be pleasing to the eyes of the Lord. And that's why we come here today, to learn what we must do, not out of chains of legalism, but, Lord, out of chains of love, because we love you with all our heart. And we want to know what will please you, Father. And we come to learn that, Lord. And if there's anything in our hearts, if there's anything in our lives, if there's anything wrong in us, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us right now. And you'd wash it away from us by your blood. And may we just be back in the presence of God the way that we ought to live. We come expecting to hear from you. If we're wrong, show us where. If we've done things right, I pray you encourage the people, Lord, to keep going down that straight and narrow path and to never look to the left or to the right at all. Bless each one that's here. If there's any sick, I pray that they be healed. If there's any lost, I pray they be saved. And there's any that need the Holy Ghost, I pray that this service they'd receive. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name, commit the service to your hands. Amen. You may be seated. I was kind of hoping that Brother Kent and even Sister Juanita and things would be here, because I believe any tithe payer, you want to hear what, when I preach on what a pastor should be, I believe that anybody that pays tithes ought to know where their pastor stands on that, so they don't get confused later on when he does this or he doesn't do that. But I think it's the same for how we're going to run the house of God. I think it's good, instead of making people guess where you stand, how about you just tell them once? Is that all right? You just say, this is where I stand on this issue, because there's certain things that you're not going to have a thus saith the Lord about as far as how you're going to run the house of God. Now, according to the message, there's plenty of things that we need to do that I can't help but believe get thrown to the wayside, because on two ends, either we're so legalistic, my goodness, you come in with a red shirt, you might as well go ahead and walk out. If a sister comes in, still got pants on, never heard it yet, you know, God forbid she walks into the house of God and gets saved. Look, this place is a hospital. Hope you understand, this place is God's place to change us and mold us and make us the way he wants. Well, it doesn't make sense if you're going to go to a hospital and you're going to go to the doctor, but while he's talking to you, you're sitting there flipping the TV, ain't listening to nothing he's got to say. So the way you approach the house of God will determine your results that you get from it. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense this morning? So what we want to do, how many wants your behavior to be 100% what God wants? Well, that's what we're here to learn this morning. How can we approach the house of God? Now, we know that in all reality, we should be worshiping God every minute, every second of every day of our life, that we shouldn't have to just pump it up before we get to church. We don't have to deflate when we get out of here, but it's just a constant, consistent Christian. That's what God's looking for. Amen. That's what I look for my wife. I don't want her to love me a whole bunch one day and then don't pay me no attention the next and then love me a whole bunch again. I want just constant, you love me. Amen. You want to be around me. Amen. You like every second you can have with me. That's love.
Amen.
And we know as Christians that we can grieve the Spirit of God. And I hate, it's probably the worst feeling I ever had. When I was a sinner, I had bad feelings. But when I became a Christian and I began to feel, when I would grieve God's presence, I never felt so dirty in my life. Because I look at all the grace that he had for me, all the things he forgave me of, and look what I just did to him. It don't take somebody to come pointing out my sins. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got a conscience from God that tells me it's time to get right.
Amen.
It's not time to play around with these things. Now, what I might say today may seem very harsh. It may seem very cut and dry. But if you want to think that this is legalism, how about you go back to 1 Kings chapter 5 through 8 and see every little step they had to do to construct that old temple. And not just the building. Remember, they had to be so perfectly hewn before they even got there. That they didn't have any saws, any axes anywhere. They just put them where they needed to go. After they got it all, I remember it was all gold plated. It was all beautiful. Even the orchestration of the service. My, you had a Levite here. You needed to be here. They would play this song there. They would have, I mean, it was just, that was the law. And that's why they failed. Because all it took was one thing on a cater and the presence of God would leave. Because that's what they asked God for. It wasn't God's fault. God knew he didn't want us to serve him that way. But they said, we want a law. So he said, here you go. Have it. So, as I said, we're not going to try to preach a legalistic approach on this. We want to do it in a way of love for every person that we're... Why are we doing this? Why are we teaching these things? That how we ought to act in the house of God? That when you come here, you get the results you should. Amen. That you're not distracted. You're not thinking of things of the world. You know, we're not just going about it in some haphazard way, talking, jibbing-jabbing about other things to where God can't speak to us, but that every person is in the channel of the Holy Spirit, that they can hear from God one-to-one, and when they walk into the house of God, they recognize that they are in a personal conference with God.
Amen.
That if they have a desire, I don't have to think it, I don't have to preach it, I don't have to, or let me say that, I don't have to study it to preach it. If you'll come that way, even today, I know I want to lay down some things and some regulations, I guess, of how we're going to run the church. But if you need a need from God on some topic I ain't going to preach on, never studied, you can pray and it'll happen.
Amen.
And I just reminded of one story. I remember, because Brother Thomas sitting there, that I remember I was preaching on something and all of a sudden for like 15, 20 minutes, I'm preaching on servant seat. And I was like, what in the world am I preaching on servant seat for? This doesn't have anything to do with what I was talking about. Amen. And I'd come back and he told me that the night before they were sitting there conversing, having questions about it, and they were going to come ask me. This goes to show they didn't need to ask me, Andrew Kressel. They needed to ask me, Jesus Christ, that could come down and speak through Andrew Kressel. That's what we need. And I tell you what, there's probably a lot of pastors that would still have their sane minds if they'd realize that they can't do anything for anybody anyways without Christ.
Amen.
And really, if you teach the people that, but too often they don't get taught anything. Too often it is you have to come to the pastor. Too often it is we got to have personal conferences. No, how about you come to church in faith with the right approach, and whatsoever you need, he promised he'd give it.
Amen.
That's what I'm trusting in. And I hope we knock down the horse that I'm not your idol. I'm not your intercessor. I am just the pastor. I'm just a vessel that God can come and give you what you have need of.
Sure.
And we should respect the office, not the man that's in the office. It's the same as if the presence of the United States, I'll tell you what, I never disagree with a man probably more in my life. But if he walked in here, I would pay him respects. If I knew he was coming, I would look nice. I wouldn't show up in a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt because I would try to respect him.
Right.
And it's one thing if you didn't have it, if you were a hobo on the street and that's all you had, well, that's all you got.
Right.
It's the same with coming to the house of God. We can talk about it for a little bit. I hope that we're free to do that. How should we even dress the house of God? Dress the best you can.
Right.
Dress the best you can. If you don't have it, you don't have it. But if you do, look who we're coming to meet with. Look who you're coming to meet with. Get away. I ain't looking at you. Brother so-and-so ain't looking at you. Nobody's looking. Jesus is looking at you.
Amen.
And he wants to know how much respect will you give him. So the best we have is, I think, the best we ought to wear. I will say that for an office. I know we don't have necessarily a deacon at the time. But if we did, he would look nice. I'm going to tell you that right now. He would be able to, I would not play around with that. He would wear what I believe is his best.
Amen.
And you can call me legalist all you want to. The way you approach the house of God, the respect you give, is the result you'll get from God.
Amen.
If you don't respect him, why would he stick around?
Right.
You know, I might invite you out to my house. If you just kind of, you know, don't even greet me really, just come in with mud all over your boots and just track it right through my house and kick it off on my couch and things. You know, as a Christian, I'd probably put up with it. But chances are, I'm not going to really want to invite you back.
Right.
Jesus came everywhere he was invited, but look what the results people got with how they invited him.
Right.
Remember Simon, I believe was his name. He invited him out. Nobody washed his feet. Nobody took care of him. He was just sitting in the corner, but he was still there.
Amen.
Well, because nobody respected him, except for, I think, some little prostitute woman that came up and washed his feet with tears, she got what she wanted.
Amen.
Everybody else, mine. How many of us would have dreamed to be that close to physical Jesus Christ standing
sure.
there?
Amen.
Oh, we would have. we'd give it anything we have, right? I'd sell my house just for 5 minutes to stand there. And if we catch a revelation, he's closer now than he was then. Because he's given us the same spirit. It's the spirit of his son. That's Jesus Christ. The spirit of the Father is all one God. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you pack him.
Amen.
You're not going on vacation with him. You don't just go for weekend visits. You live together.
Amen.
And that's why it was the seal of the Holy Ghost. Because there's no doors out. There's no windows, there's no cross spaces, there's no way out of this place. It's sealed in.
Amen.
And there ain't nowhere I want to be but sealed in with God.
Amen.
That was all free. Amen. So as we approach the house of God, I want to explain certain things maybe in that I've done or haven't done and plan to do from here on out, because I've tried my best to be patient, because we just started the church to scratch, don't know who's coming, don't know who's going. And even right now, we still got come and going. But I'm glad to see them, like Dad said, the majority of us that are here most of the time are here. That's good. That's what I want you to understand. And I'm actually glad on that note that there's not a lot of visitors, because this isn't necessarily for them. If this isn't your home church, what your pastor does at his church, that's fine. That's up to them. But I have to have a stand of some sort where I am at. We don't want to guess around. So the first thing I want to read is from Brother Branham. He's talking on church order, and I've got a few quotes here. Might be reading a lot, but I hope you're hearing from God. Church Order 58. Then I believe that the worshipers coming in should be met and hang their coats and hats and shown to their seats with hospitality that only ushers or deacons filled with the Holy Spirit can do, and in love to see the Church of the Living God go on. And I hope you notice that that's what I do out there. And I could read the quote. I think I'll just skip over it. But Brother Branham said when he started the church, he was pastor, he was deacon, he was trustee. He had to do it all. So right now that we don't have a pastor or a deacon necessarily assigned, that's why sometimes I try to stay in the office as long as I can to kind of prepare for service. But I desperately want to be there because of that. I think when people come, they should be greeted. I believe that they shouldn't feel afraid. That way when guests come, I can hurry up and explain a few things about how we run service so they're not confused when they walk in, don't know what's going on. I think that's all great. There's nothing like walking to a church and there's nobody around. And you're like, well, can I go in there? And you open the door and, well, can I sit there? Or is that somebody's seat? You know, and there's all these things. Well, if you have somebody that's staying there saying, hey, come on in, look around. Yeah, anywhere you see open, go ahead. You know, those things, just knock all that out and say, just worship the Lord today.
Amen.
And I think that's good. So right now, yes, if you want to be real technical, I am trying to be an active deacon as well as a pastor. Okay? I want people to be greeted. I want them to know what's going on. And I believe that that really is the office of a deacon. And if we ever have one, I will stop and I'll stay in the office and pray before services.
Right.
So like I said, I won't explain that again. If we do that, don't plan on Brother Andrew being out here all the time. It is kind of hard, I'll be honest, as a man. It's hard to do that and float about and trying to think two different things at one time. But if God called me to do it, I can do it.
Sure.
Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God that these things even happen in the first place.
Right.
Amen. Now look at the worshipers that come in. We just talked about that all there. But look what Brother Branham says. These worshipers should not talk one with another. And I know a lot of times, you know, it's okay to say hi and just how you doing and things. I'm not talking about that. But when people have tried to have conversations before service, they might think I'm being rude, but I just believe that.
Right.
I'm not here to talk about anything else right now. We're here to worship the Lord.
Right.
And from now on, I probably, like I said, I've been very patient with it. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. And these are things no man really wants to do. You don't want to be rude and things. But look, I respect him more than any of us.
Right.
Okay? And this is his house. So from now on, and again, if you tell anybody that might visit or things, if they're going to talk about other things, I'm going to tell them right now, look, we're not talking right now. Respect the house of God. Please either go in and pray or read your Bible or something. We're here to worship God.
Amen.
Not here to talk about other things. And I'm not even trying to rebuke those that are here. We do pretty good about that, I think. Most people don't come in there and chit-chat things. They just put their coats, they try to do what they got to do, and they get in service and they're praying and reading. I appreciate that with all my heart.
Amen.
These worshipers should not talk with one another and be talking across and making noise in the church. They should come together. First, slip up in silent prayer, perhaps at the altar for a few moments. No loud praying. You interrupt someone else's silent prayer. You are in worship. So I do want to say that when you come in here and worship, you know, sometimes we do have inspirational worship and praying, and we just break through and things. But before service, I don't think that's good, because it can cause confusion. And I'm just going with what the prophet said here. If you disagree, that's fine, but this is where I stand. We should all just be in silent prayer. God knows your heart anyhow. But just pour it out to him before a service. Consecrate yourself. Whatever happened today, get that to dissipate away. And as the prophet said, you know, he'd show up probably, he said at least a half hour early, 45 minutes on another quote and things like that, because it takes us a while. Let's be honest. If you walk in for 5 minutes, chances are you're not going to forget what you just thought about. It's really difficult. I've had to do that a few times, and I remember one service I had to run in late. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I ran in late, and we began to sing songs, and I just felt weird. I was just like, man, what is this? And I began to realize, oh, I didn't get here early, I can only do. I'm still thinking about what we just ate, because I think it was the second service that day. You know, we went out to lunch, and what they were talking about there and stuff. See, we don't need that. We don't need any of that. You say, well, I got to worry about work. I got to worry about the house. No. Push that aside. Put the kingdom of God first, as Jesus said, and all of this will take care of itself.
Amen.
And if we'll worship God 100% holy, and we've broke into that channel, things happen.
Right.
And that's what we're here for. We're not here to just congregate and feel kind of good and pump each other up and, oh man, aren't you glad to be the elect of God, and nothing ever happens.
Come on.
If sinners walk into this place, they ought to either feel two things, either conviction and get right, or scared to death and leave.
Right.
That's when you know the presence of God is showing up. When you've met in the presence of God as a sinner, what'd you feel like?
Come on.
Get me out of here. Because you know what's going on. You know, everybody else can try to judge or whatever. He's got a right to. He knows what I thought yesterday.
Amen.
He knows what I did last week. And I know I don't have a chance in a million to make it out of this courtroom innocent.
Amen.
But aren't you glad he didn't ask you to do that anyways?
Amen.
All he wanted you to do was say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Forgive me. And he forgave you.
That's right.
So I believe that's what should happen. But how come so many times we've seen sin just sit in the church for years and years and years and years? It goes to show you that they've left something that the apostles had. Because
Amen.
When they tried to lie, Ananias and Sapphira, and gave a certain offering, but it really wasn't what they said it was, Holy Ghost didn't put up with that.
Amen.
And it is a fearful thing. What do you think would happen in 2014 if somebody walked in church and fell down dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost? What are we going to say? Do you see what? It would take something supernatural to even keep the lawsuit out of this place. But guess what? I ain't afraid of that. I ain't afraid of what the government's got to say. If God does it, that's what I'm for.
Amen.
Amen. So when we come into this building, let me finish that quote. He says this. They should come together, first slip up in silent prayer, perhaps at the altar for a few moments. No loud praying, you interrupt somebody else's. Silent prayer, you're in worship. Let that soak in, worshiping in your spirit. Then return to your seat, or you don't have to go to the altar. Like, we don't necessarily have one here. Just go in, get in your seat, sit down, listen to the music, close your eyes, bow your head, be in silent, worshiping God the whole time. So don't do, I've even heard it called in churches that period of like a half hour or so called silent time. It's not silent time. You ever get me? We're not religious. We're not just here to be quiet.
Right.
It's not a library. It's get ready to worship.
Amen.
It's get in the spirit. Remember how we preached that? It's not the pastor that needs to get in the spirit so much, because most of them at least got enough gall to know you can't preach without the spirit.
Right.
And you fail one time, isn't that the best way to never forget your wife's birthday? Forget it once. You'll never forget it again. It's the same when you go to preach without the anointing one time. And I did that before the Lord really called me, and oh my. Lord, help me never do that again. But you need to recognize your position wherever you are is just as vital to the body of Christ as any minister.
Amen.
As Brother Branham himself, you're just as much a part of the body.
Amen.
And he did preach the same thing.
Amen.
Amen. Let me find one more quote here where Brother Branham talks about this. I'm going to come back here. Brother Branham says this is Church Order 63. Look the way we used to do it years ago. Sister Gertie was the pianist. I was pastored here. I was pastor, deacon, trustee, everything else at once, but I had to do it. Now you don't have to do it that way, see, because you got men to carry this out. And when I had ushers, Brother Seward, and all of them at the door, they had pulled piles around there at the door, sitting in a chair or something or another. And when someone come in, you showed them a place to hang your coat or help them to their seat, give them a songbook, and ask them to be in prayer. And then everybody sat in their seat, silently prayed until starting time. See, and then at starting time, Sister Gertie, the pianist, would go up there and start the music when the people are coming together. I would suggest to have your organist to get there with some real nice music. If she can't be there, put it on tape and play it or something or other. So that's why we do that. Now you understand why we've got music playing, because we don't necessarily have the musicians that could just do that the whole time. But it's nice, and we have it on recording. We play that right there. Let me keep reading now. and have music, real sweet, sacred music going on. And ask people, and if people go to talking and carrying on like that, let one of the deacons get up at the microphone here, there at the desk, and say, shh, shh, shh. Okay? And that goes for visitors as well. I understand we need to be gracious and know that they don't understand everything, but when you walk into somebody else's house, it doesn't matter how long you've known them, you respect their rules there. If you walk in and say, can you please take my shoes off, and you don't take your shoes off, you don't need to be going to their house because you don't respect them enough to go to their house. So again, if you bring somebody, please let them know that, look, the expectation here is don't talk or anything about anything when you're in here before service. We are here to pray or to read our Bibles. Amen. Let me keep reading that quote. It says, at the tabernacle here, we want you to come and worship. Let's not make noise. Listen to the music. Get in your seat. Sit down. Be reverent. See, pray or read your Bible. This is the sanctuary, and here is where the Lord dwells. And we want everybody to be real reverent and worship, not to be running around talking before the services. Congregate yourself, and you come here to talk to the Lord. See, either be in silent prayer or read your Bible. Have we made ourselves clear on that before service? What the expectation is. And as a deacon, as right now, and any deacon I would ever ordain, he will be duly noted. If anybody's discussing anything, you need to tell them to please be quiet. You say, well, that might be mean, that might be harsh. Look, that's fine. If it's necessary talking, if you know you don't know where the book is, blah, blah, you don't know where scripture is, things like that, that's fine. But if it's just talking of any sort that doesn't have a purpose, then no, we're not going to put up with that. Somebody's going to say something. And I will be as consistent as I can. And let me just read through the quote, and I'm gonna major on one quote here that Brother Graham had. The deacons came, and they were having questions and answers on church order, and the deacons asked this question. So let me show you what they say, and we'll go through the response here. Brother Branham, in respect to the order of the church, we have tried to go according to the way we understood the orders given in the dedication of the new church. And by doing so, some have gotten mad and left the church. And others will not listen to anything we say, especially the children. We have talked to the parents about their children, and they won't take care of them. Now, have we misunderstood, or are we going about it the wrong way? Thanks. So did you catch the question? I'll just break it up. Let's just do that. Let's just go one part at a time like Brother Branham does. The first thing was they tried to carry out orders, and people got mad and upset and left the church. Is that right or wrong? All right, that's what they're really trying to ask. Let me show you what Brother Branham says. It says, in respect to the order of the church, we have tried to go according to the way we understood it and the given of the dedication of the church. He says, now that's correct. You're doing right. Now that is supposed to be deacons, I suppose, because right here it's a deacon's job. All right. Now he reads the question. And by doing so, we have often gotten mad at us. They do at me too. They'll do at any man. See, a person that does that, there's something wrong with that person. They're not right with God, for the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teachings, Christ's house, Christ's order. Amen. See, in any man or any woman or any person's children that would get angry with a godly deacon that would tell them to be, and or any parent would get angry with a deacon. Really, we want everybody in this church that we can get, but if that would only cause trouble somewhere else, there's a thorn or a rabbit in the woodpile, as we used to say. That person isn't right. So what is he saying? Yes, we want every person we can to be in the house of God that wants to be here. But if they can't respect the house of God, if a deacon or even a pastor for now comes up and says, please be quiet, please be reverent, and they get snotty and mad about it, it's better off that they don't come. Right. Say, my, that's pretty hard, Brother Andrew. Look, if you won't respect God, it doesn't matter anyways. You're not going to get a thing from him. Right. And people go, my, that's kind of a mean God. Do you know what this God has done for you? He deserves a little bit of respect. When you woke up in the morning, why did you start breathing? Why is your heart still pumping right now? Why is your brain? Why haven't you had an aneurysm? There's a God that loves you, that integrally is a part of your being, and he takes care of every single thing. And us, my, we need to count our blessings sometimes. How many woke up in a nice warm house today? How many had a car that had heat and air conditioning and it was able to get you here just fine? Yes, that's right. And all these little conveniences, where do you think those things come from? Don't be a little hog that eats from a pile of apples and never looks up to see what tree it even came from in the first place. Be a human. You've got a mind. You can think, hey, I'm eating this. This had to come from somewhere. And wherever it did, once you find it, he deserves a little adoration.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And my, we'll have a guy down the street give us $5 and we just praise him and love on him and oh, that's wonderful. And that is good. You ought to do that. But how much more our Heavenly Father?
Sure.
Look, if people can recognize what God has done for them, you don't have to pump up worship anymore.
Amen.
That's it.
It's automatic.
Amen.
Right.
It's Too often, though, we want to make a religion. We want to make rules. We want to make regulations. You see, even the rules I'm establishing now, you recognize it's not, you have to walk this fast. You can't do this. You can't say this. It's respect. It comes back to a concept, not a bunch of little integral rules. Because things change. You understand? And if we made a rule sheet, I guarantee in 2 weeks we'd have to change something. And I've watched churches do it week in, week out. And there's a fight about this rule. And should it have been this way and this way and this way? That's why the Bible said don't add a word to it. Don't take one from it. What's the doctrine of this church? We've already shown that in the three services ago. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What he wants is what we do.
Amen.
We can learn. He can. Is that all right? What he established is right. And I believe that God sent his brother Bram to even teach us on these topics.
Amen.
I know it's one that's not very popular because, you know, every church is sovereign and we can do whatever we want. But look, the Bible told me that Elijah was sent for us.
Amen.
So I believe that even if it is his opinion, I respect his success enough to respect his opinion. And I think we ought to give it a try.
Amen.
I'll just give a testimony here. I was a Sunday school Sunday school superintendent at Brother Craig Brewer's there in Lima. And before I got there, they hadn't had one for a while, and it was chaos. Let's just be honest. It was just chaos. Just a bunch of kids kind of try to do something, but really they're just playing the whole time. So I went, and I searched what Brother Bram had to say about it, and I can't help but get upset when, let me get a second here. When I've seen people who are deacons in the message for 13 years never looked up what Brother Bram said about it. I can't stand when song leaders have been in the message 15, 20 years and never looked what Brother Branham had to say about it. They just go on some old whim, and it doesn't work.
Right.
Because remember, how do you receive the works of God? You have to believe on him whom he has sent.
Amen.
And how many of those Brother Branham was sent to us?
Amen.
To bring
Amen.
Us back to the truth? I believe it. So I respect what his opinion was on these things. And I did. I went down just as formal as I could, every line that Brother Branham had to say about being a superintendent. And there were things that I wanted to change now because it wasn't what Brother Branham said. The main one is he says, Sunday school should not interrupt with the worship service at all. And it was going, I think, 15 minutes into the worship service, and I said, we're cutting that off now. And he said, well, we might not have enough time. I said, we're already wasting all kinds of time because it's just chaos over there. If it's 20 minutes, let it be 20 good minutes.
Yes, amen.
It's just like now. If we all showed up to church an hour early, but we're just a bunch of hoodlums, we're talking about football and lunch and all these things and just walking around, we could come here 2 hours early. It's not going to be consecrated for God. But I'd rather us get here 20 minutes early and give our whole hearts to worshiping God, and you'll get so much more results than you could ever imagine.
Amen.
Unless the quality's right, don't worry about the quantity yet. If you're going to just do it half-hearted, just stop. It doesn't make any sense. Give it your all at all times. And even as a Sunday school superintendent, I believe God was testing me to see if I would give that job that nobody really cares about. Can I just be honest real quick? Nobody's going to go, you know, searching me out and oh my, is he doing this, he's doing that. It was all under me and God's leadership, and I did everything he said because I knew God was watching me. And I was sincere as much as I could be, and it is. Brother Bram said it was just as vital as any other position, but most times it goes kind of by the wayside because people don't see it all the time. He said we shouldn't interrupt the worship service. I did that. He said there should be an announcement given before service that people can know what's going on in Sunday school. I did that. It should be a structured teacher. We shouldn't just be playing around and things like that. We need to have lessons that are directed, and kids are expected to behave. We did all of that, and the Sunday school was twice as big as what it was before. Kids actually could recite what was going on. We had memory verses. Kids actually knew them. Mm-hmm. People say, my, you're being kind of mean, a little legalistic about this and that. No, look at the results that happen when you follow God's plan, when you follow God's word. And even that announcement, I tell you what, just giving a little bit to the people so they could see what they did, it made people want to bring their kids to Sunday school.
Amen.
Because before they just thought, like, and they were probably right. They were just jumping around playing. It's kind of a waste of time. Why get here? Who cares? But now that they know, and, you know, I even heard a couple kids saying, well, I wanted to be here early, but Mommy and Daddy weren't ready yet.
Sure.
Isn't that a shame? God help us.
Amen.
To never do anything like that. If your child wants to do anything for Christ, we should be the first ones to try to egg it on, push it all we can.
Amen.
My little boy likes to preach once in a while. My amen and my say hallelujah. I don't know what he's talking about, but I don't care. I want to encourage him. This is what we like, son. This is what we sing. We sing these songs. We play this music. You can dance to this all you want to.
Amen.
When we're going through Walmart, you don't move to this garbage.
That's right.
He wants to read the Bible. Good. You want to read good Sunday school books and things like that. Good. We should encourage that. And any of that negative stuff, you discourage it. I was all free again. He made people mad. He said the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teaching, Christ's order. Let me skip down here again. I don't want to stay on that too long. Brother Branham says this. And if they leave, there's only one thing to do. Let them go and pray for them.
Amen.
And that's what we'll do. Again, if somebody gets upset with the way we do things and they don't like it, I don't want them here. Is that okay? I'm not trying to be mean. I would love them to be here, but if they can't respect the things that we believe and we want to happen in the house of God, then they can go their way. That's fine. Go wherever they feel led, and we will pray for them. Not going to get mad about it. Not going to get upset. Not going to get up here and preach a 20-part series on why they were wrong. Sat through too many of those already in this message. We don't need that. We need to just stand for what's right.
Amen.
It's time for the message to not be something that stands against things. It needs to be something that we're standing on.
Amen.
I understand there's a lot wrong. If we're going to preach on everything that's wrong, you're never going to exhaust it, because there's a million, billion ways that are wrong. But if you focus on the one way that's right, it'll automatically expel all the wrong ways.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Branham goes on, and he talks about, he says this, see, they've got to listen to our orders here because it's the order of the church. The thing is, we don't want to do the things that I don't want to do, but things that must be done. And I'm exposing myself. Let them hear. Let them hear by this tape. It's me. They can hear me taking and know that it's me, not you men. You've asked me these questions, and I'm giving it to you the best that I know from the Word of God. And he quotes. He says, now, if those people got angry and go out from you, what does the Scripture say about it, Brother Branham? They went out from us because they wasn't of us, and that settles it. They left the church. That's what they did. It's all right. Okay. So that goes with respecting what we establish here as far as good conduct, respect, and serving God out with all the love in our hearts and coming to the house of God in the spirit of worship. Now, they asked this as well. Remember, they said this. He said, others will not listen to anything we say, especially the children. And we think children, you know, they're kind of the exception to the rule. Or they, you know, we know they fuss up, and we know they'll do wrong. Absolutely. Kids are going to do wrong. They're kids. But it's still our responsibility as parents to do what we can. And look what Brother Branham's got to say about this. Again, remember, this isn't me coming up with something. This is what he preached, establishing church, and I believe it. How many believes?
Amen.
The children are supposed to know discipline. They should get it at home. But even if it's mine, my kids get in here at any time, they get disorderly, I don't want you to draw one string. And I'll say the same right now. You've heard me take that boy back there and spank him enough, but no, I don't want one string pulled on my own children as well as anybody else's. If we're disrespecting if my children are disrespecting the house of God, I want to know about it. Because sometimes I don't see it, you know. And sometimes, and I'm going to trust your judgment. We should trust one another, because if we really love one another, we'll trust one another.
Amen.
We're not going to sit here and just pick on each other because your kid did this, your kid did this. No, we all just want the service to be better. And if that's really our focus, then you keep loving these things. And even you say, hey, you know, I saw Dawson doing this, or I saw Justin, or just Sadie, just picking everybody's name. You know, we have little kids come and go and things. You know, they were doing this, they were doing that, and they might not have seen it. You know, you might want to watch them a little closely, make sure they don't do that.
Right.
And any real Christian should appreciate that.
Yeah.
And again, as we just said a minute ago, if they get mad and stew about it and want to leave, well, that's your problem. I'm trying to be as honest as I can. I love that person. I don't want them to do that, but if it comes down to it, that's what's going to happen. Let me finish reading that quote. He says, I don't want you to draw one string. Sarah, Rebecca, Joseph, Billy, whoever it might be, you tell me, I'll see to it. If they can't behave, listen closely, then they'll stay away from church till they learn to behave. This is not an arena. This is the house of God. This is not a place to play and skate and write notes and laugh and cut up. This is the house of God. It's got to be carried out godly. You come here to worship, not even to visit.
Amen.
I'm going to hit this hard. This is not a picnic ground. This is not a visitation place. This is a visitation place of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he has to say, not to one another. We don't come here to fellowship with one another. We come here to fellowship with Christ.
Amen.
And too many times people say that, oh, I don't got no fellowship. I ain't got no fellowship. That's not the fellowship we're looking for anyways. We want fellowship with God.
Amen.
Because if you haven't, you can be like Daniel right in the middle of Babylon.
Amen.
And they signed an edict saying, if you pray to any other God, you're going to die. He didn't have no support group.
Nope.
You say, where were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We don't know.
Right.
They might have just been off on the other side of town, didn't have anything to do with him that day. But he knew about it.
He opened his windows, he got down, and he prayed like he did every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? He wasn't looking for the approval of man. He was looking for God's approval.
Amen.
And if you'll recognize that God, you know, our children really aren't ours. We're their stewards.
Right.
They're God's. I happen to believe when we get to the other side, as the Bible said, we're all brothers and sisters. And I know our minds, we can't do that. You know how hard it would probably be for my dad to look at me and say, we're going to be brothers? What are you talking about? You know, same with me thinking of my grandpa, we're going to be brothers in Christ. Yeah, but that's the way it's going to be. That's the new kingdom.
Amen.
And it's going to be so much better than anything we've ever come up with.
Amen.
Amen. But now we are stewards over our children. We have to make sure, again, that they know how to behave in the house of God. And us as well, that we're not coming here to be with each other. And look, we can do those things. That's good. I think it is good that a church fellowship with each other, but not in the house of God.
Right.
I think that'll keep a lot of things out of the church if when we leave here, you're not afraid to go to each other's houses.
Right.
You're not afraid to talk about the Word of God. You're not afraid to say, hey, you know, maybe we disagree on that, but hey, I love you anyways. Those things help all the time.
Sure.
And even when you get those little thoughts, you know you've had them. Brother so-and-so thinks this of me. You get a 5-minute conversation, I guarantee you, any brother with the Holy Ghost, you go, I don't know what you're talking about. I never thought that one time. And then you can dispel, that was the old devil. But if you got people that are afraid to fellowship and, you know, these, oh, they go here together and these go here, you're never going to have a church that's successful.
Amen.
It's broke right down the middle, 3/4, 5. And I've seen it all over the place. We need people to love one another. No respecter of persons. No, these people are spiritual. These aren't. I don't care if they're not spiritual. You ought to be with them.
Amen.
If they ain't spiritual and you think you are, well, the spiritual person will humble themselves to try to help somebody that's not spiritual. Big person will lift up the person that's not big. That's the real big person. I even had a minister one time talking about me. He said, I used to get kind of frustrated with people that didn't have faith, and I just get mad about it and kind of get on about it. But he says, what good does that do that person? If they don't have the faith, then I need to show them.
Amen.
Whew.
Come on.
That's another thing I want to hit on. A minister is not exempt from any of the rules of any believer. He's not here to fellowship either with anyone else but Christ.
Amen.
I've been in churches where you go in the office and everybody's up there jibber-jabbing and they expect to come down and have a good conversation or a good experience with Jesus Christ. No, you're wasting your time.
Sure.
Now, if one person comes here sincerely, you're going to hear from God.
Sure.
Don't you worry about nobody else. But we don't want that. I don't want just one of you to get blessed. I want every person that walks in this door to know, I saw God today.
Amen.
I heard from God, and I left with my burdens lifted.
Amen.
That's what I want. But I can't make it for all of you. You have to approach God the right way. You've got to approach Him with all your heart. You've got to come to this house knowing, I'm not here to fellowship with Brother James, Brother Tom, Brother Ronnie, Brother Dan. We're not here to do that. We're here to fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Brandon says this. Let me skip down here a little bit. He says, and children must be disciplined. And they must be disciplined by the parents. Let it be known that if these parents of the children will not listen to what these deacons said, then the parents should be corrected themselves. So let me explain how things will be done even in this building. Again, I don't know what others do, but this is what we're going to do. If I see a child wrong, and maybe he's out by himself, that's one thing. But if you're in the vicinity, I'm going to say it to you first. Because I think you need to, we're the parents. I don't think you should go to the children and bypass the parents. You know, you're a chain command, you should go down that if we can. And if I see them doing something, I'll say, hey, you know, Sister Melissa, Sister Betty, whatever, whoever it is, you know, hey, they need to be quiet. Okay? Like I said, I've tried to be as gracious as I can and patient, but we've got it. I think we've been in this long enough. It's time to all of us to kind of raise up. Be as more responsible as we ever can be. And I'll be honest, as far as what I've seen, and I can remember the first time I preached in here, I'm happy with what God has done. And I don't mean to embarrass the Sproles, but we know we had the chairs in here, and by the time we were done, I don't know what lines we had. It looked like we had about 5 rows when we were done. Is that to embarrass? No, it's to show the grace of God.
Sure, amen.
Those two have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost in this meeting.
Amen.
And that changes things, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Is it so much better than just pushing people and kicking them and, come on, kick your TV out. Come on, put skirts on. What are you doing? How long does that last? Just as long as a legalistic rope don't cut.
Right.
That's right.
But when it's all said and done, guess what you've done to that person? You made them believe they're saved when they ain't. You made them believe they have the Holy Ghost when they don't. Because you need to get the experience first. Then these things actually have a place. Even this service right now. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be able to receive these things.
Why?
You're going to think it's Brother Andrew picking on this, picking on that. We're trying to be all super formal. We probably need to relax a little bit. That's a good way to see in spirit, but that's not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God says the words are 100% right and needs to be followed out 100%.
Amen.
Remember, that's why Paul even wrote all those things to Timothy, that he might know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God.
Right.
That's why he still told him what a pastor is supposed to be. He told him what deacons are supposed to be. He told him what the widows, the fathers, the children, the brothers, what everybody should be doing in the house of God. And it comes down to loving God.
Amen.
And loving one another and respecting the gathering of the saints.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. This must be carried out. It's not something we can just play around with. If I had a deacon who was too afraid to tell people that they're doing wrong, he wouldn't be a deacon anymore.
Come on.
It's not right. You're not doing your job. Quit wasting your time. If I have a deacon who's not going to get here early enough to greet people before they get in here, that's why you're in this spot. You need to be here. You won't be a deacon anymore.
Amen.
And I've tried my best to lead by example on that. Me and Dad typically will get here, he's usually a little bit more than me, an hour early. Why do I get here an hour early? Because I want to pray first for a little while at least. Make sure everything's good to go, that we're not, no malfunctions, the heat's working, the electric's going, and if we can take care of any of that before service, I want to do that. I've had times of sitting in church and somebody's pulling a ladder right before prayer, 10 minutes before sermon, and they're getting up to fix something. That is not the time to do any of that.
Right.
That half hour, at the minimum now, and even longer really in my heart, before service, there should be nothing going on in here but worship. Prayer, reading your Bible, getting in the Spirit, forgetting about all the things of the world. Even your natural obligations should go by the wayside by the time the first note's strung on that guitar. Amen. Let me read Brother Branham again. He's still answering that question. He says, this is an order. Everybody catch that. Not a suggestion. As most people want to say, Brother Branham has suggestions. He said, this is an order. We must keep the house of God, and deacons are supposed to know how to do that. And that's why I'm telling you now, keep them things caught up. And if this, you tell that the parents and they won't listen to this, won't listen to it, then you get another deacon or one of the trustees or some good person in the church and take the deacon board, all the deacons together, say, Brother Jones, Brother Henderson, Brother Jackson, whatever it might be. See, their children are disbehaving. We've told them two or three times about the children, and they won't listen to it. See, it's one thing that they get whatever, and you listen, and you do something about it. It's gone, as far as I'm concerned. It's over. But if you don't do anything about it, you think it's okay for your kid to jump up on the seat and do cartwheels, and I've seen this. I wish I was making that up, but I've seen it. And I've seen it since, you know, they're related to the, you know, it's okay. It's hogwash. Everyone has the same standard. And really, even if you were the most legalistic believer in the world, if everybody knew what you stood for and that you carried it out the same for every person, it'd be easier to put up with it. It's different when, they can have the TV because they're this and they're so wonderful and they're just so needed in the church. If a man's living in sin, he's not needed in the house of God.
Amen.
I don't care who he is. I don't care how long he's been here. If it's found out that he lives in sin and he wants to do some thing of the world instead of what we ought to be doing at any position, he don't deserve to be in a position.
Amen.
It's not right. What did the Bible say that we read that about deacons? Let them first be proved.
Right.
That's why I believe it should be completely orchestrated of God. I believe that the man that is called to be a deacon will show that he's a deacon before he ever
Amen.
Steps foot as one.
Amen.
You won't have to worry. It's all those things we said, and this is just me, but as far as I'm concerned, a deacon is a pastor that's not a preacher.
Uh-huh.
He's got the same. His house is in order. He's got a well-behaved wife, as it said there. He's faithful in all things. He's got his house, you know, all those qualifications that we read from earlier. He's able to do those things, and he doesn't put it on because now he is a deacon. He did it anyways.
Amen.
And he was first proved, and I believe even after we all can recognize that, and God would even move me, this brother, we're going to try him out as a deacon. I believe he should do it for a while to see first if he likes it. Brother Ram talks about this. I don't have it, but he does talk about that. He likes it. The people like it, and it all is flowing together.
Amen.
Look, we have bylaws because of the state. We have to come up with certain bylaws. and ours on voting for pastors, deacons, or whatever, because we don't vote on the pastor, we understand, but if I would happen to die or something, you know, God forbid, but I'm just saying, and you are here and you don't got a man of God, I believe that's the time people ought to vote for who they want to take over. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to go start work. I don't think, why would you vote for that if you don't like Brother Hansie? Why are you here? You know, that's you know, that's how this started. But as it was Brother Branham did it that way. Brother Branham started the Branham Tabernacle. Obviously, they didn't vote him in. But when he was going to go to the missions field and they brought Brother Neville, they voted Brother Neville in to see if the people liked it. Uh-huh. Ours isn't a majority vote. It's not a two-thirds vote. It must be unanimous.
Amen.
Because one, what does the Bible say? One bit of leaven will leaven the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And here's my stand on it. If you're going to vote no, I want you to talk. I'm going to register right now. You better know why. And you better be ready to stand up for it, because I'm going to call you out personally and we're going to go talk about it. And if I take whatever you say according to the scripture and it doesn't line up, I'm going to dismiss your no. I hope that's all right. Now, because there's certain things that you might know that I don't. That would change things.
Right.
You know, if a man happened to be, you know, it said he's the husband of one wife. We've already talked about that. If he's divorced and remarried, technically, according to the scripture, he's got two wives. He can't be a deacon.
Right. Amen.
Yeah, you might think that's legalistic, but that's what the Bible had to say about
sure.
it. And I might not know that.
Amen.
You might. You know, I go through this whole thing and say no, and you pull me aside and say, look, I know this brother's great, he's a good brother, he does all these things, but he's been married before. I'd say, thank you, I appreciate that. Get up and say, well, this man's not qualified for this office. It's not necessarily, it's not, and again, any Christian will take the word and say yes. Amen. That's fine. Doesn't hurt my feelings at all. That is what Paul had to say about it. That's okay.
Amen.
Let me just serve God what he has called me to do.
Right.
And if we would just realize that you're not here, you're not here, you're not here. We're all right here.
Amen.
If you're just the housewife, and I don't even want to say that. If you're a housewife, one of the greatest honors there is in this life, do with all your heart.
Amen.
It's not just a housewife. God forbid that I even said that. Now, they asked this, and I think it's very important to say this. They said, now, have we misunderstood? Because what were they judging it off of? People leaving the church.
Mm-hmm.
And any man will know that hurts. It doesn't even matter if it's all legal stuff. It's still going to hurt some. Because if they're really Christians and really part of the body, you know, if part of my finger leaves, it's going to hurt.
Sure.
Now, if it's because of surgery, you know, God's got to do something to get it all put back together. It's actually in the wrong spot. That's all fine.
Uh-huh.
But it's still going to hurt some.
Sure.
And that's what they were basing this off of, feelings. This is hurt because we've watched these people walk out. We thought we were doing the right thing, but it didn't work out the way we thought. See how it's time to get feelings out of the picture? It's time to get numbers out of the picture, too, and realize the Word is the picture.
Amen.
Right.
If you stay with the Word, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Amen.
If we were going to base it off those two things, Jesus had the most unsuccessful ministry to ever hit the earth.
Yeah.
He preached 3.5 years, and when he got done, he didn't have any converts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Noah preached for 120 and got his family. We'd have thought, you know, of course his kids are following him, but when it comes down to it, if you stay with the Word, you're the majority. And you're right, because as Elisha, remember they were camped about with all the army around him, and Gehazi's all, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Right.
I don't even know if Elijah saw it. He just knew it.
Right.
Said, Lord, open this young man's eyes. He opened his eyes and he saw on every hill flaming chariots filling the countryside. He said, there's more with us than there are with them.
Amen.
If you stand alone with God, you're in the majority.
Amen.
It's not easy. I understand. We're carnal. At times we get in the flesh and we look at things this way. Oh, I've only converted this many people. Look at Brother So-and-so down there. He's got that many. And, you know, these people left to go there. Is he more spiritual than me? And am I doing something wrong? And all these things. But if we'll just push that aside and realize, are we walking in the Word or not?
Amen.
That's all that matters.
Amen.
Amen. Now he says, have we misunderstood? Look at Brother Branham's response. He says, no, sir. You haven't misunderstood. That's correct. I'm saying it again. The orders and the army, they don't ask you, will you go do a certain thing? If you're in the army, you're compelled to do it. Everybody knows that this is an army here. These are orders. What God tells us ain't suggestions. This is the way it needs to be. Amen. See, and that's the way it is. I'm compelled to preach the gospel. I'm compelled to stand for this regardless of what other men and brethren and so forth say about it. I'm compelled to do this. I have to hurt feelings and cut men to pieces. You don't want to get like Oswald. See, if you can't disagree with a man and things, listen to this, and then shake hands and still have the same feelings towards him, then there's something wrong with you.
Come on.
If you can't disagree with a man bitterly from one side to the other and still think just as much as Christ would, there's something wrong with my spirit. I haven't the spirit of Christ.
Amen.
You can disagree with me, and I'm sure there's something, if we talk long enough, you can disagree with me. If we can't think just as much, even in this service right now, if you think certain things should be a different way, that's fine. I respect your opinion, but I have to find a place to stand myself. And this is where I stand on this, as what I've just said before. But if we disagree from head to toe, and you can't think just as much as me, and I can't think just as much as you, we haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. We're lying to ourselves. I can't help but believe there's too many pastors that I've tried to question just because I just didn't see it maybe a certain way. I was completely open with being wrong. But I did bring what Brother Branham had to say about it. I did bring what the Bible had to say about it. And if I'm wrong, please show me.
Amen.
And I've seen it turning. I've seen it both ways. I've seen it done cordially and right. And people agree to disagree. We'll serve God the best we can. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. That's
Amen.
Fine. But at the same time, are you going to be able to center a man like that? No. Not if there's something you're disagreeing with. It's just going to taint the whole thing. It's better off that you go somewhere you can support.
Amen.
Does that mean if Brother Andrew likes Kool-Aid, you have to? No. Don't go that far now. But if there's something foundational, you're just like, I just don't know about this. Like, for instance, if you don't believe Brother Branham was Malachi 4, yeah, you need to stop coming. You're going to be every service, every time I say it, because that's what happens. When there's something in your spirit that doesn't agree, it just eeks at you every time. We've all been progressive. We've all had progressive revelation too.
Sure.
There have been steps. There was things I believed 5 years ago that I'm glad the Lord showed me I was off the beaten path.
Amen.
Because a real Christian, we know we ain't perfect in ourselves, but we know we've been received by a perfect God. Who has promised, once you receive the Holy Ghost, He will lead and guide
Amen.
You into all truth. As we talked about before, look, that doesn't mean you're looking this way, and that's the gospel way. You ain't been born again yet. But you're born again. You're heading this way. But that doesn't mean something might knock you off a little bit, and you get either a little legalistic, or you get a little loose. And you come back, and you come back, and you come back. Now, I've heard it said before, you know, you drive a car, it needs constant correction, which is true. But let me just say this, you need to take your hands off.
Right.
Let the master drive.
Amen.
He don't need corrections.
Amen.
Could you imagine a car that you don't have to waddle at all? It just goes right where it needs to go all the time. That's how the Lord drives a car.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I meant the core of your life now. Doesn't notice any car. Now let me finish that quote. He says, if you can't disagree with a man bitterly from one side to the other and still think as much as him as Christ would, then there's something wrong with my spirit. I haven't the spirit of Christ. See, and if he says, well, Brother Branham, I believe that your teaching is this, that. All right, brother, let's come together and reason. You and I will take it ourselves. Did you catch that? If you disagree with somebody, don't talk to others and do all this and create all kinds of mess. Just go talk to them one-to-one and then see if you can reconcile things. Reason it out. And he just cuts me to pieces and I have things to say back to him. If in my heart I can't feel the same about him, that he's still my brother and I'm trying to help him, then I'll never help him. There's no way for me to help him. If I don't love him, what's the use of going over there? Tell him, look at this. First place, brother, I don't love you. How many's ever heard somebody confess that to you that you know didn't? It takes a real man to say that. I think, what was his name? Brother Noel Johnson once, he said, his daughter brought this kid home. You know, ponytail, I think he had piercings or something, just, he's of the world. And he just looked at him, and he said, he was talking to the Lord, he says, Lord, I can't love him. I can't love that. But he said, I know you can. You make me love him. And if we'll just be honest sometimes, somebody might just tore into you and it hurts. But if you can't find a source down, I'm talking down the deepest inside, that says you still love that man and that's still a soul Christ died for And if he really is wrong and leaving the Spirit of Christ, you don't want that. Because you know what's going to happen to that man. He will be no more one day. And any real Christian, that's, you can't desire that. If you do, it shows you've got the wrong spirit. Isn't that what Jesus, they, remember the disciples came to Jesus and says, oh my, they rejected you. Won't we just be like Elijah and just bring fire down from heaven and just destroy them? You know what he said? You don't know what spirit you're of.
Amen.
Different dispensation, wasn't it? We've left law. We're into grace. But I'll say this right now. Grace is soon wrapped up. And you won't have to bring law. Law will hit the world. Judgment will hit this world. And it's already phasing into it. If you don't see that, you're blind. How many heard about a murder in Defiance? Who would have dreamed that in Defiance, Ohio, somebody would go on a rampage on their own family? We never would have thought that in this little rinky-dink town. Why? The whole world's going to lose their mind. It just goes to prove whatever securities you think you have in this life, you don't. It's Christ. Christ is our security.
Right.
Amen. I don't want to go on too much longer, but I just want to say this. If you have any questions about what I've said indirectly, again, please listen to it first. I want you to make sure you're not just guessing what I had to say. Because I've seen that before. Somebody had questioned something I had said, and I went back listening and said, you didn't quite catch it the way I said it. Let's go back and listen again real quick. And even if you still hear it wrong, please come to me. I have an open door. I don't care. I'm not afraid. You know, and I know you've experienced it before. Pastors are afraid to be wrong. But this ain't one. I've been a teacher at school, and I'm pretty good at math. Let's just say that I've done it for a while. I got most of it down. But the other day I was doing something, and the kids looked at me and said, that's not the right answer. And I looked at them and go, you're right. What's wrong with that? I couldn't figure it out. One of the kids eventually showed me what was wrong. But I was like, some message pastors, what are you doing questioning my authority? Don't you know? Don't you know I'm the pastor around here? Don't you know you need to respect me? No, I said, thank you. Let's go back up here. Let's erase what I had on there and put the right thing down, because that's what's important. If I do, God forbid, but I'm a human. I can get in my own spirit. I can say things of my own accord. I trust that I don't the majority of the time, God forbid. And I trust that you don't believe that either. That I don't say things of my own accord. I don't say things that because I'm just thinking up something, I'm just going to hit this. I've already had that happen once. I remember I said statement, and then I looked at a brother, and I realized, we just talked about that yesterday. And I was like, oh, goodness. Lord, help me. Lord, help him to not think that I just said that to attack him.
Amen.
So again, if you have any questions, please let me know. Let me just sum it all up in this. When we come here, even when you're at home, and I believe that's part of the reason I like church later, is because even when I'm at home, I'm starting to get better. Not just physically now, okay, we got to do that anyways, but even spiritually. Not listening to other things, we're going to listen to good music. We're going to listen to the prophet. We're going to read the Bibles. We're going to take it slow and get the word out.
Amen.
And really, we know every day we ought to do that. I think at the end of the day, that's a good thing to do. Just go ahead and push the world aside. Give God a half hour as a family. Because if you don't have God in the family, you're never going to have God in church. Amen. We've already preached that before. The living God's dwelling place, remember, was the family altar. Without altars in the house, there'll never be an altar in the church.
Amen.
We all have to serve God at home. But when we come here, come with all your heart. Come in the Spirit. Come expecting God to use you. As we said, there's 9 spiritual gifts here. I believe that.
Amen.
Even if there wasn't 9 people, there could still be 9 spiritual gifts here. Because the prophet said that. They're in every local assembly. And I believe that with all my heart. And if you'll recognize that your gift, whatever it is, I don't know. He does, though. And if you'll come, knowing that you can't operate it, you can't do it just as much as a preacher can, that we have to step aside and let the Holy Spirit do it, or it won't hit right, then you know, I have to come in the Spirit. I have to come reverently, respectfully. Come in, please. We're not talking about other things. We're not talking about work. We're not talking about school. We can save all that. You know, we go out to lunch. We go out to dinner. Whatever. We go to each other's houses. That's the time to talk about this stuff. When you walk in here, worship. Worship. All the time. We're here to worship God.
Amen.
When you listen to preaching, worship. I'm not afraid for you. Just throw your hands up and say, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. I'm okay with that. It's not going to disrupt me at all. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, even in this assembly here, it'll be perfectly right on. See, are we allowed to pray for each other during the service? Absolutely. Absolutely. If it's worship, that's the thing, it's worship. If it's real worship, you can jump and scream and do a cartwheel if it's worship. You can sit there and just bawl your out and cry and scream out in the spirit where normally, like we said, we don't want you to talk. But that isn't you talking.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
and that's what we want. As Brother Branham, remember, he would say, please be quiet and reverent. He said, but that I don't mean you all worshiping out there. That's fine. You go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those that are just, you know, talking about things or getting up and going rushing 15 times, you know. We know what that spirit is. It's just distraction. We don't need that. Remember, it got so bad one time. Look, and the more the presence of God is displayed, the more accountable people are.
Amen.
To the point where Brother Branham said, if you move again, you're probably going to die. But he would say, we would tell him, please stop, please stop, please stop. And I remember he said, you're off my hands. If you do it again, God have mercy on you. And he went back to try to, because you're not, you don't understand. There's spiritual warfare going on.
Right.
Every time we walk in here. And if we take care of it before we walk in the door, and whatever's left, you take care of it before we even start the preaching. And if you, whatever you still might have left, we start singing and that worship pushes it away. And if there's anything left, we got the word that's coming to take that off. I think we'll begin to raise up.
Amen.
That with the potential you already have, you're born again, you're packing it.
Amen.
Do you get it? You're packing God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you divide God all you want to, it's still God.
Amen.
It's still omniscient. It's still all powerful. It's still the Almighty. And He lives in the hearts of the believer. It's time for us to not think so little of that. Little of ourselves. Well, absolutely. Without that, we're nothing. But with that, I can do all things.
Amen.
The only way to do that is to get in the channel of faith. It's to get unbelief out. It's to come reverently, respectfully, sincerely with all your heart. Walk in. Don't talk about nothing else. Put your coats in there. It's fine. Go to the restroom. I got you. Come in here. Worship. Worship. Parents, yes, you got to take care of your kids. If they get up, do it. That's fine. You got to take them out and spank them. I don't mind. Is that okay? You're not disrupting. If you need to take them to the nursery and calm down. But I will say this. You make that nursery worse than sitting out here. They'll learn they don't want to go to the nursery. I've seen nurseries turn into jungle gyms, too. We ain't going to do that around here. I'll tell you that right now. If I hear more ruckus back there, there will be a deacon knocking on myself saying, hey, we can't be having that. The nursery is what it's supposed to be, to nurse. Isn't that right? Because we don't, no, I don't think it's good to publicly nurse necessarily. I personally wouldn't mind. If a woman had a thing or whatever, wanted to nurse her baby right in service, but I know, especially in our age, that might cause problems. We got a nursery, that's fine. We've even got a speaker in there. You can hear just fine in there now. You don't have to try to hear from in here. But if you have to bring a little child in there, like my son or whatever, and go in there and have to give them a licking or two because they ain't respecting the house of the Lord, that's fine with me. And if you want to sit in there until they do learn to behave, as we read earlier, because they don't need to be in here unless they can learn to behave, you keep them in there until. But like I said, make it worse than being out here. Then they'll be like, okay, I'll just sit in the house of God. I'll just be quiet. I don't want to get beat again. You know, if people think you're spanking your kids like you're hurting them, no, you're doing them a favor.
Right.
You know what happens when people don't discipline their children? You know what really happens? Is they have to make these decisions by themselves now. And they're only two. They don't have the capability of making decisions for their whole life. They need somebody to do that for them.
Yeah.
Welcome to the job. You got put to the plate.
Right.
And you asked for it when you said I do. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Lead your children the right way and pray that God would continue to excel us, continue to show us, how can I worship you better? Lord, how can I give you more of my heart? I'll be honest, I'll just show you even myself. And I don't mean to keep going on. I just want to make sure this is all hitting home and I don't forget anything. When I first started worshiping the Lord, you know, you think one hand, you know, okay. I know it sounds foolish, but you know it's the truth. And then, because you think, oh man, somebody saw me do that. And then you realize, nobody's sitting behind me. That old devil trying to keep you from worshiping. But if you can just give your whole heart. I remember the first time I danced in the spirit, I thought I did it for like an hour. It was at a Louisiana camp down at Brother Tim Pruitt's camp. And I was like, ma, this is awesome. This is great. And then next time, I was like, man, I can't do this for an hour again. Or somebody's looking at me. Somebody's doing this. No, it's not time to worry about who's looking at you. It's knowing who is.
Right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
As we know, what did the Bible say about praise and worship? God inhabits the praise, he says, of Israel, of his people, of the congregation of the saints. He inhabits it. But if you're just, even when we sing, look, worship. Don't sing, worship.
Amen.
Don't go, oh, I don't like this song. Worship. I don't know the song. Worship. I can't sing it well. Whatever. Worship God anyhow. I've done that before when I was like, man, I don't know the song at all. And, you know, they didn't have a projector there either. And I just said, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And you'll be surprised. The Spirit will teach you the song in about two times through. And you'll catch what it is. You just get in there and write worship again. Worship God with all your heart. Teach your children to worship. Let them know how to worship by watching you, not because you're kicking them, trying to make them do something. Let them see how to worship because Dad ain't afraid to put his hands up. I'll put my hands up. Dad ain't afraid to say amen when he hears something good. I'll say amen when I hear something good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The world will look at you and say it's foolish, but that's not what the Bible had to say about it. It said, teach a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it.
Right.
How many parents have held on to that promise and watched it come to pass?
Amen.
Or seen a parent, or had a parent. I had a parent that did that for me. Hallelujah. Closing. The Bible says, let all things be decently in order and in order. And that's why we've done this today. I will be as consistent. The Lord is my helper as I possibly can. Yes, it might. I might hurt people's feelings. I understand that. But just know right now, on tape, on the internet, it's not my intention to correct anyone, any child, any person, anything goes wrong. Even if you bring a visitor, I'm going to make sure that they're not disrespectful. We've had that happen in here a few times. You might not remember, but I have, and I did feel convicted that I didn't do something. I just let it go on because I feel like it interrupted the service, things that could have happened. And if people don't want to respect God, look, they're not going to receive from God anyways. Why make them keep others from receiving God as well? See, we think they're not going to receive. They're already not going to receive from God. It'd be better for them just to stay home. But if they're going to hinder somebody else, that's when I'm going to get upset. You watch Jesus when he really got upset at Pharisees. What was it? Because their doctrine was keeping somebody else from getting healed.
Amen.
That's what made him angry.
Amen.
Remember the man with the withered hand? And they looked at him and said, oh, will this guy heal on the Sabbath? And he said, you can't do good on the Sabbath? You wouldn't give somebody on the Sabbath? He said, come here. And he healed his hand. He said he looked on him with anger. And he was well. I don't even know if he said it that time. He just said, come here. Stretch forth your hand. And it was made perfectly well. See, he didn't put up with that doctrine when it was hindering somebody else. And I will do the same. If somebody's going to disrespect the presence of God. We've already had that happen where it was such a presence that it was either repent or perish. And I'm glad to see that people didn't resist that and they said, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Because in all honesty, as we know before, if Cain would have just respected God and done what he said, he would have been accepted. Maybe not even eternally, but at least for that saint, that little point that he would have been blessed, he would have been king or Abel's ruler. God would have done his word for him. So we know that predestination, you know, we're never going to get away from that. But if you'll just respect God, you'll get results every time. Let's stand together this morning. I know it's a little bit different of a service, but I felt that was needed to do. I've waited. So I felt comfortable about doing it. I think it worked out real nicely. How many appreciates the Lord this morning? You know, can we just give the Lord a hand clap, praise and worship? Can we do that together? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say a few things about during service. You all do great. You all pull in the word, and I don't think I have to teach those things. I believe you know what that is. I try, as Brother Bram said. He said, you know, as a pastor, and you're going to be preaching time and time again, that you try to keep it about 45 minutes. Don't go on forever and ever and ever. And I think you've recognized that. The Lord is my helper. I haven't done that. Can I go longer sometimes? Yes. Can the Spirit lead us to go longer sometimes? Yes. But I don't think that'll be the normal, because why would the prophet have said that? When I've seen churches that want to preach 2 hours, 3 hours every single time, I can't believe people checking out, spiritually speaking. the sinner that's sitting there, he's not going to get converted today. He's already gone. Because what's the most important after the word goes forth? What do we want? We want the word to produce. And that's what we're even here right now. Look, I know we went through church, Lord, but that doesn't mean God isn't going to do something supernatural right now. And I hope you feel his presence. I believe he is well pleased with what was said today. I believe that's what he wants from us, to respect him and to love him with all our hearts. When we approach this part of the service, again, I will say it just because we might have visitors. If you want prayer, you can come forward. We'll pray with you. But this is the time where we get in the Spirit. As far as the gifts of the Spirit, this is what I think is the opportune time for them to happen, is after the preaching of the Word. They can't happen before, but I think sometimes, as Brother Branham said, they even put them in another room, and it happened before any of the service. What's happening? Because I think it would be just kind of confusion. I've listened to a few tapes where people have done it right in the middle of sermons. Then, yeah, I could see why Brother Branham said this is not good. Because it's just like, what is God trying to do? And God is no author of confusion.
Amen. Right.
So you know, rest assured right now, if something confusing starts hitting you, that's the devil. Because God is no author of confusion. So now when we get in the Spirit of God, if you want to come forward and have prayer, that's fine. Yield yourself to God. Don't put God in some box. You say, well, I've never, what are the nine spiritual gifts? We'll probably speak of that soon here, but spoke in tongues, prophesied. I've never laid hands and had a gift of healing work. I've never had a gift of faith. I've never seen a miracle and things like that. That doesn't mean, look, the first time's got to be one time.
Amen.
You know, one day, I had to recognize I had a gift to preach. It happened the first time, one time. You see what I'm saying? Then you begin to let those things should excel. They should get better. They should hit, clear cut and all those things. Even prophecy itself, it says, the Bible says, let him that prophesies prophesy according to the proficient of his faith. Which means, yes, prophecies can be general because that's the faith that's coming forth. It takes more faith to prophesy specific, all the way down to this person's name, this time, this place. Mm-hmm. Is that wrong, the first prophecy? Not at all. We're babies, we grow, we mature, and I think we're at another stage to mature, even in our little assembly here, that we can come up higher.
Amen.
How many believes that?
Amen.
And as we worship the Lord after the service, let the Spirit, even if it's just hallelujah, Jesus, I just love you and appreciate you, Lord, do it. Don't check out yet. Don't, as the Bible says, don't rush out of the presence of the King. Give him some time. I can't help but believe there's been plenty of blessings lost because somebody was thinking about lunch and took off. But if they just would have waited. Brother Branham talked about people coming up to the altar to receive the Holy Ghost, said, I've been up here 20 minutes, I haven't received it yet. That don't mean nothing yet. It says, until. When we leave the house of God, I believe we should leave burden free.
Amen.
He said, ask that your joys are full. And you say, well, do I have to necessarily feel better? This, no, I'm talking about in the Spirit. Down on the inside, you have peace. You have joy. You have love. That when all these on the outside are happening, it just falls to the wayside.
Amen.
When you leave the house of God, and you feel rejuvenated to serve God another day. I believe that's what we should do. So as we approach this time in worship, let's just sing Grace, Grace. Can we sing a song? It's number 8 if you don't know it, but it's pretty simple there. F. That's what it says. Let's sing this together. And again, if you want prayer, that's fine. If you just want to worship, yield yourself to God and worship Him with all your heart now. Let's sing it together.
Grace, grace, God.
Song number 8.
Oh, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, grace.
We praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's God.
Jesus,
grace that is greater.
happy, it's greater than our sins.
Than all.
Let's just sing it one last time, all together.
Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace,
our God.
Just worship him our own way for a little while. Just give him praise and thanks.
Oh,
we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, for your grace and mercy in my life, for saving my soul, Lord, from all this wickedness, Lord, all my own selfish desires, Lord. I thank you for washing me clean by your blood, filling me with your spirit, Lord Jesus. I thank you for my family and friends, this little church you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done. Continue to lead us and guide us and help us, Lord. Love Lord, with all our heart, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
Jesus,
praise you, Lord. I love you with all my heart. I love you, Lord. I can't wait to see you and be with you forever, Lord. Help me, Lord, to do all I can for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
your heart's desire.
Yes, Lord.
Flow through me, Father.
Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands in worship and to magnify thy name, flow through me.
Yes, Lord.
Oh.